mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 438. Now, there's nobody here at the moment because they all wanted to drop out of the show. So we're doing it a bit raw because I've only just got in, sat down after having finished working. So we're going to go on the Skypey thing and see who we can get in. So this is as and when it happens. It's exciting podcasting. This is innovative podcasting here at the 20 megabyte podcast. I'm just going into Skype now to see who's there. I'm so behind that I haven't actually got any notes, and I can't even remember the title of the last episode. So I'm going to be relying on other people to help me with that one. No spoilers, because I haven't seen tonight's episode either, because I've been working, filming, and we've just got in. So I'm looking forward to watching tonight's finale after the show's finished. So right now on Skype, and I don't even know if this is going to work because I haven't even set up the audio levels correctly. So we're going to now dial in Mr. Burby Cartlett Sloan. And at least I can then see if the audio level's working. Oh, they don't appear to be. Oh, dear. Oh, I know why. Because I haven't plugged them in.
Of course you know why.
Hang on a sec. I've lost my connecting plug. Oh, there it is. No swearing, everyone. We're live. There we are. Now you can speak.
Woof.
You can speak now. Oh, I haven't turned the speaker on.
I'm speaking.
Last try on.
I don't see anyone else on yet.
The speaker's on.
What?
Hey, I can hear you now. Well,
I hope so.
What am I cheering for? Right then, so Burby's on.
Yeah.
Let's see if Larry's sitting by, shall we?
She should be.
And what about Mebby?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
She has some sort of time limit.
Oh, why has everyone gone quiet?
I'm not quiet.
Oh. Mebby Delrose has joined the show.
Hello.
Larry's in as well. Right then, so now we can do the introductions, viewers. So we've got Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Bits of dead Cybermen floating in space.
Debbie Melrose.
Yes, thank you, Eeyore.
And no, she hasn't had coronavirus, she's just been busy. And it's Mary Lang.
If anyone has some heartfelt end-of-life speeches, now's the time.
That was a good bit. Oh, there you're go. Really going to do that?
We're actually only half an hour late, really, which is quite remarkable, considering my busyness. So, yes, this week we're going to be looking at the ninth episode of Doctor Who from this series, because I can never remember the titles. I'm busy. I don't get time to write notes down and try and remember titles of shows or anything
Ascension
like that. But it's an episode of Doctor Who with Cybermen in it. Pardon,
Ascension
Kirby?
Ascension of the Cybermen.
Oh, Ascension of the Cybermen. Olorinx says, hello, or Halo. Is that a song by Beyonce? Halo, 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 halo. Ooh. Anyway, right. So I'm now going to load up iTunes, which is my medium for watching the episode. And I'm still sat here in my work uniform from my previous job of the day, which is rather bad, isn't it? So I've gone from one job to the other job, come here, I've got another job, and then when I finish this job, it'll be a case of watching Doctor Who. Right then. Right, so bear with, because this does... So you can have... Oh, Debbie, what did you think about the episode, the 15 episodes of Doctor Who that we've reviewed without you, while I'll try and get this up and running?
You mean two episodes you reviewed without me.
Really?
Yeah.
Feels like more.
I can never remember their titles.
Can't you?
No, I'm very useless like that.
Well, just say the one with, like they do on Friends.
Well, there was Orphan 55, and there was Prisoner of the Jadoon.
Praxeus, watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, you watched them. It's just what the fact you haven't actually said anything about
them.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Debbie, yes, but we're trying to find out what episodes you've got to talk about.
I really liked Can You Hear Me? I love the fact we actually had a physical monster at some point. You know, the bit with the claws going around her face was brilliant. Isla was really quite terrified by that. Mm-hmm. And it's a great idea using the nightmares, but it was a very predictable one because as soon as the lady turned up going, help me, Isla was like, she's a baddie. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, yeah. But I quite like the whole idea of the nightmares thing, but I felt, again, it was a bit too companion heavy. And the Doctor seemed almost incidental in it again. And I'm not liking the way that's writing. But it ticked along. It's a good idea. The thing with the fingers was decidedly creepy.
The thing with the fingers.
the thing with the fingers.
The floating fingers.
Yes, the floating fingers of doom and peril. I really like those. I thought that was a really, really nice trick. But it was, we didn't delve too deep into, I mean, they did a quick sort of cartoon version of the history of the two godlikes, you know, the immortals. But I felt there could have been, you know, a bit more explanation about them and a bit more interaction with the Doctor. So, yeah, I think it was, I just felt it was Dr. Light, like she was just incidental in that one. But then the Villa
Doctor
one, I thought
Light.
That was quite funny. I love the fact
not
Byron
Doctor
was
who.
Always flirting with her. I thought that was hysterical. Go back.
Oh my God, I found a battery I should have charged.
Sorry?
I just found a battery I should have charged.
Whoops.
Uh-oh.
Carry on.
Okay. All right.
Is that bad?
No, we finished the job now, but I could have done. I meant to charge all my batteries, but
shows you how much I've been missed, doesn't it?
Really? So halfway through your review, Deb, you're just going to die out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, bye.
Is that it?
I love the idea of Shelley being. The ghost. I really enjoyed that, and I like the whole idea of the Cybermen coming. You knew it was going to be a Cyberman. I mean, there's been spoilers all the way for this one, but it was a really nicely done idea, and the whole questioning the humanity of the Cyberman and the whole idea of why this Cyberman is who he is. Obviously, we come to that in the episode that we're reviewing.
Excuse me, that's a spoiler. Right, point deducted.
No, it's not.
How is that a spoiler when we've just had the finale?
I don't know. I haven't seen the finale.
No, she wasn't making reference to the finale. She was
I'm fishing.
Yeah, ascension. Hello. We're coming up to the episode. As I said, we're going to talk about that in a bit. But I love the way Mary Shelley was talking to him, trying to reach the humanity in him. And I thought that was really nicely done scene. I really liked that. There was some absolutely outstanding acting in this. And I did like the idea of the ghosts at the end actually being real, which was quite funny. I thought that was
real ghosts.
Why would they bring me food? And there was a classic line in there, yeah, with you need a suntan and some rest, you know, that sort of thing to the ghosts. And I just thought they kept the humour up, but also the whole horror of the house. That was just so well done.
Sometimes,
using a house,
Debbie,
as a character.
People try when they're really frightened in real life, they try to to cover the fear up with comedy, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like what I do on the show, actually, when I know I've got Kirby to bring onto it at some point.
What?
That's what I do on the show when I've got to bring you onto the show at some point. I cover up the fear of it, of bringing you on the show by using comedy.
I thought I was the comedy.
No. Carry on, Debbie. Sorry.
I'd be too proud of that.
Debbie.
I liked it. There you go.
Laurie Nix says, hang on, I can't see my glasses on. My general musings on this episode remind me not to enlist the Garda.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just cleaning my glasses, otherwise I won't be able to see. Oh, just
what they do, you win. What they do, you retire.
Eh? Right then, let's see if we can get on with this episode of Doctor Who, Ascension of the Cyber something or other, which begins.
Cyberman.
Cyber drones.
Which begins with
the cyber heads, yeah.
Oh God, but it's very unusual for me not to get into the first seconds of the episode without Kirby interrupting me. by women, which is what normally happens in my day-to-day life. Right then. So then we start with the what looks like initially, because they're out of focus, those floaty things in Stranger Things, but it's in fact debris. And or debris, or whatever you want to call it, rather atmospheric debris, and then a cyber head.
You do say my name very oddly.
What do you mean? You're so funny.
I do love going into the Cyberman's eye to get into the titles.
Yeah, that's really good. But what I thought it reminded me of was obviously the head that the 11th Doctor carried around with him for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously hasn't got the neck bits. And the other, it's just interesting. But the other thing I thought was quite good was if you imagine just playing the opening title sequence of Doctor Who at this point, you know, when the Doctor's face appears, and just time it for when the cyber head goes through. That would be cool. But anyway, right then. So obviously the Doctor's head doesn't appear in this particular title sequence, which is a bit of a shame. So we have what I thought was a clip from what's that bloody program called? Peaky Blinders. This bloke with a peak cap riding on a bike out out in the stick somewhere, and he finds this baby in a basket just left in the middle of the road. So what he does what most normal people do, take it to social services and just get on with his life. No.
Well, this was some time ago and they didn't have social services.
Yeah, they probably did. But anyway, so yeah, so he brings the baby home and they very lovingly are allowed, rather weirdly, to adopt it. And then we see the little flash parts of this child's life. What was his name? Is his name again?
Brendan.
Or was it Brennan?
He looked a full 2 years old by the time they got that letter saying that they could adopt him.
Do you know what reminded me of? Do you know what
they probably did go through social services.
Yeah, they probably did. Yeah.
Just saying, do you know what it reminded me of, that this whole sequence when you see him growing up? It is there was a sequence in what's the one where the doctors use a chameleon arch and he's a human and he's forgotten his life and then that he remembers. Yeah, then he remembers his life and you see it, or is it this fake life that he had
lined up for him, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lovely, some lovely direction going on using this little, cute little toddler and his red hair. And then we see his life. I say, I'm just skipping through. Was very well documented the way they've sort of made it, his life last about a minute. And then we cut to the Doctor and team on a rather desolate-looking planet.
Bam.
Well, but they do show him getting sick, so he's not completely immune to everything.
They show this desolate planet, which does look a little bit like the scenery looks like old-time Doctor Who, because it does look like it's drawn, like a little painting or something. And Kirby's now going to say it is. Oh, maybe he isn't.
No.
So the team are there. They have obviously there to do it.
Fam. I was reading the script for this one, and fam crops up an awful lot in this.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, so the Doctor and team have got a mission to destroy some Cybermen. Because this is the last outpost of the human race, again, essentially. And then Judy Graham turns up again. Now, she's been in so many things that... I did actually inquire about bringing her to the convention, but I never got an answer.
She was in William and Mary. I loved William and Mary.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but so I could bring her to the convention, but I asked Mick at work if he'd ever heard of her. He said no. Then I showed him her picture, and he still said no. I think she's one of the most recognisable faces on telly.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, so. There's a short sequence where we meet all the forgettable characters that they've brought into this story. And each of the team have got a task to perform in relation to deflecting these Cybermen. So just basically...
Master?
What?
I liked that we brought back the allergy to gold. Although it didn't work.
Yeah, but no.
It didn't work.
Have a chance to work.
Yeah. So there's a lot of time just bringing these new characters in and to try and make you care about them. And then...
Only to kill them very, very quickly, most of them.
Yeah, and then these very, very cute cyber floaty heads just sort of appear in the sky.
They were rather sweet, weren't they?
Yeah, the Cyberman version of the Red Arrows. And, of course, they implement their plan, which doesn't work. And a few people get shot at, and I think somebody gets killed. Hang on, my phone just vibrated. Yeah. Why is it vibrating?
That's not me.
Nothing important. So a few explosions, and we see the view from the cyber head thing as it floats around shooting and killing people. And the Doctor shouts a lot because I think she's sort of underestimated the situation again. And, yeah. So, yeah, one of the characters dies, and... she's slightly guilty about it, because essentially it is her fault. And I'm just moving on a bit, because there's lots of conversations going on, which I've already forgotten about. And then there's a very iconic scene, about 11 minutes in, of the lone Cyberman walking out of this sort of burning scenery. It's really quite cool. And the Doctor then takes the Mickey out of the said Cyberman. Yes, and then a load of other Cybermen turn up to support him. Yes.
So someone pointed out on Twitter that part of the problem with the look of the Lone Cyberman is that his mouth doesn't line up with his mouth hole.
So?
I kind of noticed that too.
No, I haven't got a problem with that. The two sidekick Cybermen that come up, one of which is bound to be John Davey, are the sort of almost like the original Cybermen we had when the series came back in. But yeah, it hasn't got the logo on its chest. Yes, Kirby.
Yes, he John Davey is credited again.
Yeah.
I think this in Ascension is the first time he ever got credited.
Yes.
But he put
some amazing pictures up today,
he put some pictures up last week and he put some pictures up today almost immediately after it showed.
Yeah.
He was in several roles today.
Okay. Anyway, so lots of after the Doctor has a bit of a conversation with the leader of the Cybermen, they all basically leg it, and they Graham and Yaz just about make it into a spaceship, but Ryan is left behind, and they're travelling with Judy Graham and compatriots. The Cybermen shoot at the spaceship, hit it a couple of times, don't have any major effect on it.
Master?
Yes?
Are you aware of a type of amusement park ride called a Gravitron?
The name rings a bell. Why?
Because this thing looks basically like a Gravitron and even spins around like a Gravitron.
People stand against the walls while it spins. Yeah.
Yes.
I've got a random nail on my desk and I don't know where it's come from.
You're very distracted this evening.
Yeah, you are. Why?
One of the superfluous characters is hiding in this warehouse, and another superfluous character with a hat turns up and basically sacrifices himself to allow... he was going to sacrifice himself, wasn't he? Or did he? I can't remember now. Somebody sacrificed himself. The young man, does he?
Yeah.
He's the one who lives when you thought that it was going to be the other way.
Yeah.
Well, Ethan.
Yeah.
Ethan, yes.
The young one lives, the old one dies. And they basically run off. So it's the Doctor, Ryan, and young chap who leg it to a spaceship. A spy cyber spaceship. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. And, the young chap with the curly hair sort of manages to get it to take off, and the Doctor uses some sort of flappy arm machine to fly it, much to the annoyance.
It's just cyber controls.
I like how suspicious she is of him, and then he just goes, "Nah, I've been fixing these since I was four. Yeah, breaking into these and destroying these since I was four." She's like, "Oh, yeah, okay." Whereas previous incarnations of the Doctor wouldn't have trusted him as far as she could throw him.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just going to see if anybody's posted anything on the feed. No, they're just watching. Got 7 viewers. Whew, must be on the wrong channel. Right, where did I get up to? I've lost my thingy. Oh, there it is. Right, so then we cut back to the young ginger lad. And obviously we forgot to mention that there was a point in which the Garda allowed them to have custody of this kid. So he goes up to the Garda to join, and does indeed join the Garda. And that's the police, by the way, in Ireland, if you wonder. No, you didn't know that. Okay. So then cut back to one of the spaceships, the one that Graham and... Yaz are on. It's very unusual for Graham and Yaz to be together in a scene. It's usually Graham and Ryan and Yaz and the Doctor, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Graham and
they do well together.
Yeah. And I remembered Yaz's name. So do I get a ding?
Ding.
Oh, Master?
Oh, Kirby?
With the Doctor in the one spaceship and... what's his name is feeling sick.
Yeah.
The Doctor hands him a piece of candy and says, "Have a humbug." What's a humbug?
That's a little mint. Hard boiled.
Just usually
mint
Sprite,
sweet.
But can look a bit like taffy.
Was I not asked that question? Right. Point deduction for Deb. Damn, we're not doing points at the moment.
You interrupted me with a battery problem.
That sounds really, really dodgy, Debbie. I interrupted you with a battery problem. It sounds like I battered you.
The doctor says that she's added ginger to the humbug. Well, she always wanted to be ginger.
Ah, right.
Ginger is good for motion sickness.
You may notice that I'm allowing you to do some padding at the moment, simply because I had the spinning disc of not
doom.
Doing anything going.
We call
right,
it
and then it just stopped just
work.
At the moment you came to the end of your little spiel. And I forgot to mention that the cute little dark-haired girl with the bubble hat, with she was also one of the team that's with Yaz, the doctor, and this mad-looking bloke who knows how to... He's a bit of an engineer, isn't he? Oh, of course, and Judy Graham. And, right, so they're just sort of panicking and flying. And I can't remember what their problem was. They had a bit of an issue, didn't they? Or did they go into warp speed or something like that? I can't remember.
And they're running out of power.
Oh, I see. So meanwhile, the doctor, Ryan, and curly-haired bloke... have another boring conversation.
Well, the doctor has a nice conversation with the lone Cyberman.
Yeah, and that's what
really
I'm getting
good.
Up to. Thank you. Then she has the conversation with the sort of hologram of the poorly rendered hologram of the lone Cyberman. Yes, it's very, very good. Typical doctor baddie conversation. sorry, I'm just moving forward. I thought it was going to go to the spinning disc.
I apologise if you hear cats. My cat Leia has decided she loves the computer at the moment and she won't leave me alone.
Oh. Then we cut back to Ireland.
One of my cats was meowing a minute ago, but now she's settled down on her feeding pad.
Yeah, thank you. Then we come back to Ireland and Garda Brennan, whatever his name is chasing a villain.
Brendan.
Yeah.
Brendan.
Chasing a villain, rather weirdly, to a cliff when he's got there's plenty of field space available.
Master?
Oh, God.
Have you not noticed that Chibnall likes cliffs?
Yes, he does. Yeah, I've heard he's a great fan of Cliff Richard.
People falling off of cliffs is what he likes.
Anyway, this is what happens.
Well, plus, I've seen part of Broadchurch, and there's lots of cliffs in that.
Well, that's where the place is, the fake place that the program's set in. Anyway, so he challenges this burglar, who draws a gun on him, and then has a little scuffle with him, and then he gets shot and falls to his inevitable death at the foot of the cliff. But he does a Captain Jack, and
he does a Jack. Yes.
Yeah, comes back to
life.
He does
the big gasp. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we've got to get him.
So is he a spawn of Captain Jack, or is he just I don't know? Jack's got to have something to do with it, hasn't he? But anyway, we'll move on because I know somebody's going to try and spoil something for me if I go on too hard with it. So right then. So he's perfectly all right, and obviously it's reported in the papers that he's survived, but his parents and that feel a bit, this doesn't seem right. Meanwhile, back in the just about to run out of fuel spaceship, they've had to conserve fuel by turning the lights red. And again, they continue panicking. And then they arrive at this sort of cloud of cyber bits, which again is quite cool.
I like that.
Now, am I right in thinking with this cloud of cyber bits, they're in there and they've run out of fuel, so the cyber bits are starting to sort of gravitate towards them. So I just wonder if it's going to become another version of that lovely story that we watched, Underworld. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Where that happened.
I was thinking Underworld when that came on. Hmm. And, I like Underworld.
I like Underworld. It's only Mary, Debbie, and half the Doctor Who fandom in the world that don't like it.
Yeah, I was keeping quiet, yeah.
It's a piece of theatre, television theatre, and I've just got the spinning disc of annoyance just turned up again. Let's see what anybody's saying. But nobody's saying it. Oh, God, it's not allowing me to go to any other window. Okay, I can't even play lift music because it's... hang on, where's my back scratcher?
Wait, I thought that Macs were the perfect computers.
Well, it's an old computer, which usually requires, to boot up properly, a good half an hour, just so everything's settled down, or the memory is settled down on it, so you can do stuff like this. But, of course, how long did I give it? I gave it about 10 minutes. So it's not properly booted up yet, so it tends to do this. And also... there's a problem with Adobe Creative Cloud, which is very boring for the listeners and viewers, that tends to eat up the memory until it sends me a message saying repair. And it does this quite regularly. Once it's repaired Adobe Creative Cloud, then it's fine. But it hasn't asked me to do that yet, so that's why it's going to keep on doing this. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Alan T. Butcher says, I have been to that Garda station. Yes, I'm not surprised. Probably with in handcuffs. Hey, Alan.
No.
Right. Oh, so, yeah, it's a very atmospheric scene of all these bits of cyber thing floating around space. I can't remember any of the conversations that the people within that ship were having with each other, so that's why I'm moving massively forward in this. Oh, wait a second, what's happened here? Oh, yeah, there was something ended up with Graham on his back. I can't remember what it was, but oh, and then they landed somewhere. Where do they land? Do they get bought into something with the tractor beam or something? Because they're now in a like a big hangar area.
Oh, no, they. They used all of the spare power they could. It was Graham's idea to use it to go into a conveniently open docking bay.
Yeah. Which is really tiny, so you really worry about whether they're going to make it or not.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit like that bit in Star Trek when the new with the movie with Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan, and they suddenly this guy dives through a battlefield.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So they sort of walk out into this spaceship where I tell you what, you know the cute one with the beanie hat reminds me of a little bit of Osgood. Just sort of say.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, cyber leader, as in lone Cyberman, he's not actually lone though, is he? Because he's got hundreds of bloody Cybermen with him. So how is he the lone Cyberman? He ain't, is he? Let's face it. Anyway, he's got a couple of mates with him which that seem to be attached to Borg regeneration stations.
Yeah, and one of them is John Davey.
Okay. And then we cut to another sort of planetary scene of a chappy with beard who looks a little bit like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Who, you're my only hope.
Yeah, who, because the Doctor and Curly Ed bloke are now flying the spaceship, and who has a conversation with the Doctor and basically lures her to wherever they are. Meanwhile, Graham's team, or Graham and Yaz's team, are just skulking around the spaceship, and I think during their skulkings, find lots of Cybermen. The new design Cybermen.
Yes, I love that design.
It's really good. It's a sort of mixture between classic and...
It's a homage, isn't it?
It's a homage, yes. Very good, Debbie.
Oh, good. I got a point back. I'm still negative, though.
Anyway, so moving on. But, yeah, so I quite like these sort of scenes.
They're terrific. I actually really like the way they did the torsos on this one.
What about the way they lit up the corridor? And that when you say that long corridor of all these sort of modules.
Dunk, and they're like, how many doors did we go past?
And also the other thing I like about it is the backgrounds are all look like they're bits of artwork rather than CGI backgrounds, which is quite sort of reminiscent of the old style of doing science fiction in the 50s and 60s, especially in the old Star Trek, the TV series, and some Star Trek Next Generation, to be fair. Anyway, so the Doctor and her lads arrive in this planet, which looks like the place where Luke Skywalker had been holed up for many years. She gets to know Chappie with Beard. Now, I had thought that this Chappie with the Beard might have been this Brendan bloke when I first saw him, or had some connections to this Brendan bloke.
No, I knew something was up with the fact that it was a baby, and you knew that it was going to be something to do with the second episode of this story.
Oh, more spoilers, listeners. I do apologise. I know there's plenty of people out there.
She's not giving anything away.
If I've watched that episode,
just because I've watched this episode, the last episode, I am not saying anything that will ruin the episode.
If I find anything, you know there will be punishments. There will be points deducted. That's such important thing.
Listeners, I don't know why I bother coming on.
I love it when you start moaning. Tell you what, Deb. Come round here, I'll give you a Cadbury's cream egg. Will that cheer you up?
Yeah.
Okay, there's one here waiting for you. Meanwhile, I'll eat one of the other ones. Yes, what?
Just to let you know, I also know pretty much what happened tonight.
Oh, for God's sake. La 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 la.
No, I'm not going to spoil either.
La 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 la. Can somebody indicate, because I can't hear a thing now because I've got my hands over my ears. Somebody needs to indicate when I can start listening to you again. Maybe by sending me a message. La 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 la.
Yeah, I don't know what to do here.
Somebody might.
Because I was promising not to spoil.
I might be able to hear you guys again. Hang on. Yeah, I've got. Don't say anything. I'm taking my hand off my ear. Right.
Now I'm back on Facebook.
So somebody needs to pump me a message up. La 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 la. To say when he's not talking about tonight's episode. La 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 la. Or anything connected. Anything that might give any spoilers away. La 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 la.
So grumpy tonight, guys.
Oh, hang on. My screen's just frozen now. My video screen's frozen.
You're in a very grumpy mood, Adam.
When I heard the name Koshermis, I thought it was some kind of scrambled letters of something else. That is.
Yeah, me too.
Hang on, I know what to do.
Shada thing.
I can turn your audio off.
I couldn't figure it out. I'm terrible at those jumble things anyway.
Oh. It says Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Laurie Nick says Kirby Bartlett Sloan, shut it. And then Alan T. Butcher said, how was the Timeless Children? La 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 la. Right, I'm going to have to close down. If there's any spoilers go on, the video feed goes. There you go.
Master.
Oh, no. La 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 la. Pardon? Big pardon?
Nothing.
Has he finished talking about any hints? Or?
Yes, he finished ages ago, and we're just debating as to why you're being such a grump this evening.
I'm not grumpy. I just don't want to hear anything, and Kirby can't help himself. Right then.
Master. Master.
Yes. Yes.
I was promising not to give any spoilers when you started going la la la.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't listen.
Well, I wasn't good. I know what you like. I know you can't resist dropping in.
Oh, I definitely
accidentally
can
on purpose spoilers.
I cannot. I don't understand what happened. So I'm not going to spoil.
Well, the fact that you don't understand implies that it's not you can't actually understand the episode, which is a spoiler in itself. Aha.
No, it's
got you. So that is a hint to the episode's not very good. Right then, moving on.
No.
La 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 la. Oh, how am I going to do this? Hang on, I'm going to go on to. So somebody can indicate when
Adam,
when I can speak
Adam,
again.
Adam, gone on long enough. Okay, he's not.
Has he shut up now? Right, do we get up? So right. No. Yes.
I haven't seen it. I just know a few things.
Yeah, I know,
things.
But you know more than I do. That's the point.
Fine,
what I
not gonna
don't
spoil
say
it.
Anything.
I'm not.
I'm gonna have to have a Cadbury's cream egg just to calm down. Actually, would much prefer a glass of wine, but I haven't got any as I got told off for drinking
at
the last bit of wine.
We're not allowed to drink on the podcast.
No, but I need one. I'm getting one ready. I'd like to have one ready for when I've got a bottle of Corona back there, but I don't want to comply that
Corona.
any other
get,
form
you'll
of
get
Corona
the virus.
Right then, now where did I get up to? I was on a Doctor Who, wasn't I? Right then, so yeah.
Yeah, where were we?
I'm up to the bit where the Cybermen are starting to.
I zoned out about half an hour ago.
The Cybermen are starting to hatch out of their little alcoves, and they're starting to march around this spaceship. And
actually, Adam, sorry to interrupt that. That whole sequence with them like that reminded me of the cat hospital. You know the bit with all the humans that have been bred to be tested on in the cat hospital, New York?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're talking about, but it didn't remind me of that.
The pod, the shape of the pod and the activation.
Oh,
instead
God.
Of having just being able to look through it, it was the touch pod. But they looked pretty similar.
Maybe they are, but I mean, I haven't seen that episode for such a long time. So we're coming up to it soon. Well, relatively soon.
Yeah.
Well, and with all of these Cybermen that are in the different pods, it made me wonder, why is this one, Ashad, why is he going around thinking he's the lone Cyberman when there is this entire ship loaded?
Mind you, he hasn't said he's the lone Cyberman, is he?
Yeah, his escort.
No, he hasn't said he's the lone Cyberman. They're sort of under
Jack
the
referred to him, didn't he?
Yeah, because Jack referred to a lone Cyberman. They're considering
I
like it's him.
I like the fact that also I meant to say with, when I was trying to talk about the Villa one, about how you know, remember Jack's warning, don't give him no matter what, and she did.
Yeah, but that might not be what he was talking about anyway, but if Kirby can keep his gob shut, that might not be what he was talking about. Right, and so...
I have no idea, so
good,
there.
Good, all right, shush. Yaz sort of starts being a bit of a know-it-all while they're all hiding away from the hiding away from these Cybermen, and it's really quite atmospheric with it when these creatures start waking up. And there's a horrible scene in which the lone Cyberman sort of does something to. I don't know if he
tortures.
He tortures one. Yeah.
Which made me wonder, how can he torture something that has no feelings and can't feel any pain?
Yeah, or maybe that these are new Cybermen and do have.
No, my interpretation of that is that he was letting them feel pain, that they didn't have it before, and he was changing them so that they could feel pain.
Oh. Because he can feel pain. That's why, isn't it? Because he can feel it. But he's not a proper Cyberman anyway. He's not, because he's sort of got more humanity than evil humanity, but still humanity. Anyway, there's a shot of Julie Graham close up where it makes her look like she's a bit of a panda. She's got so much eyeliner on.
When someone is out in one of the last seven people to live, they still put on eyeliner.
Got to have eyeliner on, yeah. Unless it's tattooed eyeliner, could be. Ah, that got you thinking, didn't it?
Makeup,
Anyway, so meanwhile, the on the weird planet. They all go down to this shore, not Tim Shore, more of a sort of rivers. There's very big boulders on this seashore. It's probably somewhere in Wales. And then this sort of like a portal opens up, and it shines green and pink light and purple light on them, and you can almost see something as you look at it that looks a bit Gallifrey-ish, but on the first viewing, but of course then it shut down again. And then we cut back to Ireland again, and I think it's the old Brendan retiring, I would imagine. Now, he does again, the retired Brendan does look a little bit like the chap with the beard on the beach. But when he walks out with his retirement clock, is that his dad there? Just standing.
It's his dad and his boss, who would have been long gone.
Yeah.
It's really
weird.
That's
the implication. They shouldn't be there at all because they should have been long gone.
Yes. Anyway, so that's a bit weird in itself. And they take him into what was looked like going to have into a room where they're going to have some sort of chat. And meanwhile, then they attach, looks like a headset that Kirby's quite excited about. That was, in some older episodes.
Kirby loves headsets,
But when I saw the headset, what I thought it looked like was the cyber head, a little bit. I thought that was supposed to be slightly reminiscent of the cyber head. And then they start torturing him. Meanwhile, we then cut back to Yaz's crew, and there's more waking up Cybermen, and there's a little... It's a bit Earth Shock-ish with all these Cybermen come back to life, but a bit more effective than Earth Shock's waking up the Cybermen, because you really can see in this one shot of hundreds and hundreds of Cybermen in the background walking along these corridors and platforms and things. So, meanwhile, back to the Doctor's group, and she's talking down this old-fashioned phone thing. I can't remember who she was talking to now. Who was she talking to? Hello, anybody there?
She was talking to the other ship.
Oh, was she? Oh, okay. I forgot that. But anyway, so Graham and his team are being very brave, but they are completely in the lots of problems. And the Doctor can't... Anyway, this great big portal...
Yeah, and I have no idea how they get out of this.
Mm. The portal...
Debbie knows.
Okay. The portal opens up again. And you do see Gallifrey, and then the Master sort of runs through the video thing.
I like that.
And we knew he was going to turn up again. What would be the point of having him in the first story if he wasn't going to turn up at some point?
Unfortunately, my boss doesn't like him as the Master, whereas I think he's pretty damn fine. So I'm hoping he's watched this latest episode and changed his mind.
No. If sometimes you don't like a...
Oh, is that a spoiler, Debbie?
Well, apparently it would have been about 10 minutes ago.
Right then, what are we going on? So I just love Laurie Nix Kirby Butler's Sloan, shut it. Then I say Alan T. Butcher said about them, how was the Timeless Children? And then Laurie Nick said, Kirby, don't make me come over there. And then Lillian Robin said, Ravio made sure for the makeup looked good because she likes Graham. Oh, very good.
Yeah, she really did like Graham, didn't she?
Very good one. Yeah. I like that thinking, Lillian.
She was cozying up to him.
So a pretty good cliffhanger for a penultimate episode of the series. And as a episode, it was quite good fun and quite exciting. You know, it was good to see the Cybermen back and being menacing. Menacing Cybermen's always good in Doctor Who, isn't it? And I think it was too many characters for me. I just got, don't think we needed all these sort of peripheral characters. So many peripheral characters in the story.
Most of them were killed off quickly.
Yeah, but some of them, most of them actually are still alive. But it was quite, it wasn't boring at all. I think I seem to remember watching this very late at night. And I was watching Star Trek Picard the other night and tried to stay up for the whole thing and sort of nodded off 20 minutes in. And I was woken up by
Starship Picard.
Star Trek, ooh, right, point deducted. You knew what I was talking about, Kirby. but I had to stop it because I fell asleep and I knew I was falling asleep. But with I watched Doctor Who last week under the same circumstances after having to do the show and then have a bath and dinner, and I actually managed to stay awake for the whole thing. So obviously it was pretty gripping episode, and it was good in the way that it did think, oh God, I want to watch next week's, but in some ways I don't want to watch this week's episode because it's the last of the series again and we have to wait bloody ages for more Doctor Who.
How long do we have to wait?
The series has been crap. Pardon?
Well, next week we start the journey again, so, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's not what they... New Who.
Wait, start the journey, or do we discuss... Or do we do a review of this
Can we talk about that when we've actually got to the end of this series, which is next week? Thank you. Right then. So, yeah, I quite liked it. It was pretty good, really. On the sort of larger scheme of the whole series, which on the whole hasn't been pretty good at all, it was quite a good story. Thank you, Lillian. Did you say Starship give that point back? I did say Starship. I'm not taking any points off. It's only theoretical because I haven't got my noise because I'm gearing up for a couple of weeks' time, or 3 weeks' time, in fact, when we move on to this Triple Pursuit version of You Won't Get This One. I'm looking forward to that. What else we've got? Starship Picard is my favourite rock band. That's what Laurie Nick says. So I liked it. What did you think about it, Debbie? Sorry. What did you think about it, Debbie?
Well, I'm not used to going first. I actually really enjoyed this. I love the episode. I love the Master showing up at the end. And I love the whole idea of the Cybermen just coming back. I loved the look of these Cybermen. I thought they're brilliant. I was a bit like, oh, here we go again. It's the Cybermen, it's the Daleks. But I thought the new slant on it, obviously introduced in the Villa episode, it was really interesting. But then again, yes, my quibble is Lone Cyberman. He's been made up to do that, and I'm wondering if that was just a blind by the production people just to go, well, you all think it's only one, but it's not. There's actually thousands of them still out there. But, you know, it was quite a hazy reference, so yeah, I wasn't too gutted about that. Absolutely loved this one. Isla absolutely adored this episode. She pretty much had cottoned on to what was going on very quickly and guessing who people were and things like that, but we'll save that for next week. And, she thought it was absolutely fantastic, but she was very curious as to why the cyber heads were flying around, because I wasn't too sure about them. What did they call them? Drones? Cyber drones?
Cyber drones, yeah.
Cyber drones. I thought that was very, very odd, but also quite funny and unnecessarily funny for quite a serious moment when the last remnants of the human race are being destroyed. But, you know, I just thought they were a little bit odd choice for being a cyber drone when you've got such great things like cyber mats out there, you know, that sort of thing. Mm. You know, they could have come up with something maybe a bit different. Mm. But that is just a small quibble in what I thought was a great setup to a grand finale. So yeah, I just absolutely, and the acting was brilliant. I love the fact that Graham was getting flirted at and didn't realize, and I thought this time it was nice to be led by the Doctor, which is what we were in this one, and that's what I ask from Doctor Who is that the Doctor is your main protagonist, and that's all I want. And you know that when the Doctor and the Master get together, things are gonna get interesting. So yeah, really enjoyed
Marvel,
it,
and just let you know
doing tonight's next week.
Just let you know, and I know I did offer you a Cadbury's cream egg, but I'm just eating it for you.
Oh, fair enough. It sounds lovely.
Mermaid. What would you think of that?
I'll come by and get one. I'm having a tattoo tomorrow, so I might need some chocolate.
Mermaid.
Huh?
What would you think of that?
Really good.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't think there were too many characters because most of them got killed off pretty quickly, and it gave some of the motivation to see them killed off. I love the new look of the Cybermen, like I said before. I liked the reference to Gold Dust, even though I don't like the idea of when we get to it, of Cybermen being allergic to gold, but still, since it is canon,
well, it's
I like the idea they brought it back as canon.
Yeah, I also would like the idea that, yes, they were once allergic to it, but they managed to find a way.
Yeah, they've got over that allergy. Yes, yeah. It's like I've taken enough medicines to not be allergic so bad anymore. Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. I don't think that's histamines. True. I don't think that's true. I don't think that it was running long enough to do it. Also, the cyber drones may not be actual Cybermen. They may be they may be drones, and so they may not be alive enough to be allergic to the gold.
Yeah, but Kirby, do you remember...
What I meant to say was, sorry. I love the camera angles from the drones.
But Kirby, do you remember, and the weirdest way the Cybermen came back into Doctor Who for a story in which a friend of FantasyCon, Valila Shabala, I can't even say her name, Valila was in, called The Next Doctor, in which we had furry cyber thingies.
Yes,
and a great big tall giant one. So they have been used in some very weird ways in the history of Doctor Who.
Yeah, the cyber shades are very strange.
Yeah, it's a similar sort of thing, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I enjoyed this, and I've watched it 4 times now.
Oh, a lot of time on your hands, then.
I watched it twice, and that's quite.
I liked it.
I've watched it once, and
I'll make extra time to watch it.
I did have the intention to watch it a second time, because Deb and Isabella have not seen last week's episode, so therefore they're going to have to watch that one before they watch tonight's episode, because they never got round to it. So I did intend to watch it with them, but they were cross that I'd watched it on my own, but tough.
And unfortunately, Orphan 55 I had to watch twice, and I never want to watch it again.
Okay, right then. Moving on from that, then, prepare yourselves, everyone, because...
Yay!
Mary, what did you think?
Well, the last really good episode I thought was Fugitive of the Jadoon. Since then, I've been kind of sleeping through these other episodes. other than a little hint here and there of, you know, things to come, they really haven't done much for me. And then comes this one, which... I can't say I like or dislike. I just kind of sat there with a frown on my face because so much was being thrown at me that just doesn't make sense, you know, and I know that it's going to be resolved, hopefully resolved next week, or the episode that we'll see tonight. And so I'm just kind of in a state of suspension waiting for that. So I can't say I liked it or didn't like it. It just was a much more, you know, hit you in the face, you know, wake up, this is, you know, a better episode again kind of thing after the last not so great ones. Opinion, I don't know. I guess I liked it because it was active, full of information, but I'm also confused by it. So I'll wait until I see the next episode.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Yeah.
Right, I suppose we better move on.
Fair enough, but it's part one of a two-parter, so, you know, it's meant to be all
together. So I'm hanging out there just, you know, thinking, you know, hoping I can remember all the things that got thrown at.
She knows. Right then. So not a lot of feedback come through, to be fair. I'm very surprised, but nevertheless, we'll have to...
Oh, we have lots of stuff out there in two different threads.
Yeah, good. Well, we'll start with the one that's just the only one I've got via email, which is the one I'm just about to... Play.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hey.
Yay.
Happy St. David's Day.
Bori Dai.
And to you. Dave
Guil Dewi Hapis.
I just said that. In the previous story, The Haunting of Villa Unpronounceable, I think that Barry and his friends did not remember their Big Finish adventure with the Doctor because they were imposters. They were a group of time-travelling Zygons researching to try and get a part in Monty Python's Life of Byron due to a misunderstanding. Alexa, what's a Cyberman?
The Cybermen are a fictional race of cyborgs.
Is Alexa in league with them? She's trying to lull us into a sense of security.
That was very
I don't like the cyber drones being flying helmets. Just a heads up. Brendan gets shot and falls from a high place. He is unharmed. Bit of a cliffhanger.
That wasn't my fault.
He has Graham take the colony's spaceship for a spin. Milne Cyberman, who is not alone anymore, catches up with them. The Cybermen are so noisy. The Doctor travels to another planet and meets Slatty Bartfast, who is guarding a wormhole. The Master appears through the wormhole. We have three cliffhangers leading into the finale. Who is Brendan? What is the Master up to? Is this the end for Yaz and Graham? Bye for now.
Yes, naughty Ian Point deducted for saying that word where the speaker has actually sat on top of said echo device.
So we call her Mrs. A in our family.
Can you run back to the point after we start getting the double echoes and so we can hear...
Yeah, we didn't hear anything after that.
Tough, you'll have to listen to the podcast.
No, I suspect that the people listening couldn't understand it either.
No, but if they listen to the podcast, Kirby, they will, because it won't sound like that. How many times do I have to explain? It's like having the kid at work trying to explain to people things.
Yeah, when we listen to it, it overrides all sound. It goes straight into the recording.
Yeah, but you can't hear, on my microphone, you can't hear that device, see, I managed to say it without saying that device, as clearly as you can through the condenser microphone that the computer has.
Hopefully he's posted his... Oh, yeah, he did, so I can read it there.
Oh, God, give me strength. Right, anyway, yes. You can listen to the podcast, Kirby. That's what it's a podcast. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a podcast. Anyway, you said to me, you dropped some sort of a hint that we had some stuff coming through on the feed.
Yeah. Well, first of all, two things. Maybe we should. I set up a thread because
he doesn't want to read it. Basically.
Well, two threads. First of all, Rob Lansdowne and I were discussing things, and he suggested that I put up a request for wild ass theories for next week.
Don't read that one then.
Yeah, I'll leave you to filter it. That's why I'm not looking at the moment, Kirby, so as you can...
Oh, so let's just wait on that one until next week and see how wrong everyone was.
Well, how about the one about this week's one then that you put
what
up?
What about this week? Okay.
Yeah.
So am I supposed to be reading these?
Yep. No. When she says this week, she means the one we're talking about now on the show, not the episode that's just gone out tonight. Please, I'm just making that quite clear to anybody. Have they got the listeners ready to turn off?
Laurie says, in response to my telling her that we might be running late and not to complain, says, I only inquired as my work break was coming to an end. Tomorrow I can take my break anytime. Aaron says it was quite a good episode, but compared to past penultimate episodes, such as those in series 1 to 4, it has been designed to set up the last episode in a much slower way. I still think The Stolen Earth is my favorite cliffhanger even after 10 years. It was perfectly paced. I still like Ashad's voice design. Still sounds fairly menacing. It definitely sounds like Nick Briggs is back as some of the Cybermen, and I'm so happy to hear the 2005-style voice again. Actually, isn't he all of them except for Ashad?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Robert Wentz Jr., I miss them coming out of the plastic wrap. Now I'll never know if I was right, poor Adric. Yeah, I thought they should have done the plastic wrap, too. And there was, this is an aside from me, there was one display where they were showing the Cybermen moving around the ship, And I almost thought that that was, they were trying to reference Tomb of the Cybermen with the shape of it, but I went back and looked at Tomb, and it wasn't. But I'm thinking that somewhere there, that that's a reference, that shape of that screen is a reference to another Cyberman.
Well, as I said, it was a homage. It really did just make you. It's amalgamation of so many good things.
Yeah.
All Cybermen well, passed.
And I think the BBC is being ecologically responsible by not having all that excess plastic wrap.
Mm-hmm. Nice one,
Laurie
Mary.
Says no time.
I do like that one.
Laurie says no time to really deconstruct this one. I totally approve of the writing. I'm just hoping the resolution this week won't be disappointing. Patrick Bishop, really enjoyed this episode. It had me gripped throughout, which is a first for the season. Really curious about the Brendan subplot. Hopefully the finale will pay off. As a side note, and I realize I'm probably in the minority, but the new Master just doesn't do it for me. Love the actor, but this Master lacks gravitas, in my humble opinion. And then the just me saying that we're about to start recording, and Ian.
Was that it?
Ian's script,
that's
yes.
It. Okay.
Also, you said that you implied there was lots of it, Kirby.
I thought there was more.
Then I shall deduct nothing. No, I can't
don't.
Be bothered.
I think people are just waiting to do it properly, like full review next week.
Plus, I was sort of counting on the Wild Ass Theory thread, which I think we should wait until next week.
Did you hear that
You've
ding?
You got a ding there, Kirby. Yeah. Did you hear that?
It was Mary getting a ding. Mary's got a ding.
I thought with Deb being back, you know. That
I thought you might be thinking that.
All right, let me find it here.
Well, hang on, why has she got it and I haven't?
They're getting jealous. They're fighting over Alan T. Butcher's feedback. This is fantastic. Let's get a couple of... Hang on, I've got to find an appropriate bit of... music for this. Right, so Mary and Debbie are finally go over Alan T. Butcher's feedback.
Oh, we like Alan.
We're talking about fairness here because we've been off
for
2 weeks.
This is fantastic. I bet Alan loves this.
Don't you love it, Alan? We're fighting over you.
Might have to come down to Alan deciding which one reads it, but tonight it's Mary. All right, shut up. Thank you.
Okay. Gallifrey in County Casterbris, or Brendan, Prince of the Cybermen. Dear 20 Megabiters, Ascension of the Cybermen is, of course, a closely studied rehearsal of hope, which remains the signature theme of the 13th Doctor. Founded in secular faith in various ways, the challenging of but adherence to hope is demonstrated. There is the faith of fellowship, born from shared adversity, demonstrated twice through the TARDIS crew and the Last Humans. Also, the ruthless lone faith in oneself, based of a certain belief, such as Assad's revival of the Cybermen and Kosharmas manning the outpost at the boundary. The boundary itself also calls for a leap of faith, which provides one last hope. The reason for this exploration is obvious. It will be interesting to find out what that is. The Irish interludes are obviously built around the life of Brendan, and his name, meaning prince, certainly steers us to
Can
an inevitable...
Can I just pause you, Mary? Do not read the last line when he says next up, because it is potentially a spoiler. And I bloody read it. Damn!
Oh, well, I haven't gotten to it yet. Okay, all right. Brendan, his name meaning prince, certainly steers us to an inevitable conclusion about the author's purpose. It will be interesting to find out what that is. It should be noted that whilst some suggest that the Doctor should have gone to an earlier point in history to take down Ashad and his mates, in fact, she was following the clue in Shelley's coordinates, which was the only way she had of narrowing down her search for the trouble she caused by ignoring Jack's advice. Mm-hmm. We also learn that whilst a pathetic bunch of tin soldiers drifted around for ages before finding their way to Voga, the planet of gold, another bunch of cyber warriors were constructed before whatever happened to them happened. All in all, Ascension of the Cybermen is a tantric start to the finale, taking us to the very threshold of the revelations and events we want, and then stopping. Splicing a high-energy confrontation and chase with a sedate unfolding of a life provide a nicely balanced narrative. Regulars and guest actors rose to the occasion, and Ashad, who is skillfully built up yet further in this story, must be one of the greatest manifestations of the Cybermen, or indeed any malign beings we have ever seen. In quotes, "the death of everything is within me," quotes, it must be said that the depiction of a large number of Cybermen marching on a large space vessel has come on a bit since Earthshock. Now we await what promises to be a mind-bending climax, even greater than time flight. We can be pretty certain, while once again be tantric, in that some of our wild speculations may remain unanswered, or at least will throw up even more intrigue as a function their satiation. However, nothing can go wrong now. This episode is perhaps one episode too short, since was clearly torture to make us wait a week for the conclusion now. Do you want me to read the next step?
Just to move on to the next
bit.
No,
read the next step.
Was that a yes? Read
no,
it.
No. Skip that bit and just move on to the next bit.
Okay, those are my thoughts.
I'm too
Alan
busy sulking.
Butcher.
You're sulking, are you, Adam? I did wonder.
I want to know what he said.
No. I'm saying it next week.
Well, he kind of hints at it in the body of his writing.
He did, yes, yeah.
I suppose we'd better move on to Doctor Who news.
Oh.
Poor Adam. Well, you know, I'm a little ticked off, too, because I haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to...
And I hate spoilers.
I've come up with an idea for if ever there's another series of Doctor Who that we happen to do, that we completely stop the podcast for the whole run of the series. Mind you, we'll still get spoilers, won't we?
No, we could just carry on reviewing the story and then do it afterwards.
No, but somebody's bound to spoil the...
Will you stop sulking and eat a Cadbury's cream egg, for God's sake?
Well, no,
what are you proposing doing? I don't understand.
Well, if they ever do another series of
Kirby,
Doctor Who...
Kirby, he's just sulking. It's all
if they ever do another series.
Well, Alan writes, no, it is not. He writes, I wrote it prior to seeing the prob, whatever that means, program.
Not convinced, but I might be convinced after having watched the episode, in which case...
And it says, hence the question marks, so...
There you go. Anna's just clever.
Clever.
He figured something out, and it may or may not be true, so he doesn't know either when he wrote this.
Exactly. Don't sulk, don't worry, and let's get on.
Doctor Who news. Hang on, I better not write you read that bit. nothing there, is there? Oh, the haunting of the haunting of Villa Diodati, official raisings.
Five point zero seven million.
The ratings make the episode 31st bloody 31st most watched program.
Debbie. Because I don't know what he said. Was he correct in his...
How would Debbie know?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what he said either.
Oh.
and you're talking
use your clairvoyant powers,
that have
Deb.
Seen it, that have seen what Alan wrote, but have not seen the episode.
And he says it wasn't a spoiler, so he was probably...
I'm not convinced.
Bobby, will you stop fishing and just wait and get it?
It's a theory on his part.
Oh, dear. Right then.
He is saying...
Moving on. 31st most watched program across all television channels with the 22.9. Actually, it's not too bad, 5.7 million. That's the final rating, it's not too bad this day and age. Ascension of the Cybermen overnight viewing figures of 3.7 million. Yeah. Well done, Chibnall. Right. Doing a great job with Doctor Who at the moment. And the BBC for putting it on the Sunday at this time of year. Well, there's no excuse. It's rubbish weather. People might as well be at home watching TV. And they're not watching Doctor Who. They're watching Dancing on Ice.
Well, I think the problem is there's too many popular programs on Sunday night.
But they're not popular. Well, they obviously are.
Dancing on Ice is rubbish. We watch it, but it is rubbish. And people watch more of it than they do of Doctor Who.
Endeavour, you know, those are pretty popular.
Well, sadly, it wasn't sadly. That is it for Doctor Who news. Apart from the stuff I can't talk about, obviously, because the episode's just gone out. And what else we got? Well, nobody's actually posted anything on the... Oh, well, I've just scrolled down. Right then, what is it?
Alan T. Butcher, my feedback is a little unpolished, as I was being questioned incessantly about the Timeless Children. Sorry for any stray words or typos that might be considered to be spoilers. And then he said, love it. No, it's not. I wrote it prior to sealing the prob. Program. He's panicking and he's going, oh, God, I typed the wrong thing. Hence the question marks. Laurie Nix, Alan T. Butcher, you little stinker, you. Oh, dear. Alan T. Butcher, don't sulk. I said nothing in there. I knew whether true or not, you cannot know whether it reflects reality or not. But, of course, I will be sulking big time next week if I find out it was. So, yeah, that's it for Talk Soon News. And sadly, for the absolutely appallingly low amount of feedback we had this week. I don't know what you lot have got to say for yourselves. It's absolutely disgraceful. Doctor Who is on at the moment. We should be getting... If we had a Doctor Who podcast, all these other blimmin' Doctor Who podcasts gets lots and lots of feedback. We deserve feedback. I'm very cross with you all.
You're so ratty this evening.
Well,
yeah. We should get feedback when the series is on. I mean, this is, apart from my lovely people who watch the show, who are great, and I can't fault them. If I was awarding points, they'd all have hundreds of them. But what have you
and
got
you know,
to say for
Matt,
yourself?
Matthew, did you even check to see if Matthew was available to come on?
I would have thought he said he was going on, didn't he? But that's as far as it got. I never heard a I didn't have any confirmation.
You did try to dive in.
Yeah, he is on Facebook.
Did somebody say I had to message him to say? Because I was quite busy today. They're all gone quiet now. I don't know. Is he around?
I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay. How was I supposed to, bearing in mind I was really busy and still am, let him know that he's always welcome on the show. You should just take it as a given.
But then he said you were to dial him in.
Oh, I'm going to what him in?
Dial him in.
Right, I'll try that now then. There we go. Could have told me that.
Like, you stop being stroppy.
You could have told me that at the beginning of the blimmin' show. I know, we'll wait till we've nearly finished the show and then we'll remind Adam about Matthew Kressel. We don't think he's even online. Oh, well, we'll try it anyway. Hope he hasn't got a new Skype address because I've just dialed in what might be a non-existent one.
He's probably not paying attention by now.
Well, he might have noticed we're actually on the air, so to speak.
Yeah, sometimes he actually watches the
live
feed.
So I'm exhausted after that stress. The stress of trying to deflect and avoid spoilers.
You made yourself.
How dare you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Scooby-Doo. Yeah, Jaggy. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so we're going to talk about, obviously the next show is, can I just check my diary? We have to do it next week anyway, because what it is, oh God, hang on, everything's falling down here. I have got a show to film next week, not quite sure when it finishes, but I don't think it's as long as the show we did this week. So, but until I know the timings of stuff, I'm afraid I can't... give you a, but we will be doing
we'll
a
do
show
it like we did this week. How about that? Yeah, we just wait and play.
Yeah, it's basically what it's going to be like.
Show up, yeah. So what do you want me to say on the?
What you did this time?
Yes, obviously. I find out, because I don't know how long the show is or is until we film it, but it's a very small dance school. Okay.
So between 7 and 8 or 8-ish?
Whatever you said this time.
I said 8.
Yeah.
It could be earlier if I get home earlier, but I think it's unlikely. It's more likely going to be between 8 and 9, and then we'll go back to normal time after that. So, but then the week after that, we're okay. We're back to normal. Yes. Right, so this is the plan.
Is that going to be discussing this series as a whole?
We're
going to
do our,
back to the
we're going to do our top 10s.
I'd rather just go back to the journey.
Mary. Now, what we're going to have is she loved the series. Right, so next week it's going to be reviewing the finale. The week after that, we'll do our top tens, or what's actually going to be bottom tens, the way this series has actually been. But, you know, we might change our opinions slightly. Let's see how we can actually... Again, and then Kirby's actually going to work out the scoring system correctly this time. I'm not saying he got it wrong last time, but it all went a bit funny, didn't it? So I seem to remember when we reviewed the last series to decide which was the best and which was the worst. It's, I suppose deciding which is the best is going to be quite easy, but it's going to be quite interesting what order everything else is. We might not agree on what the best one is. We haven't seen the whole series yet, so there we go. So next week, finale. Week after that, your top tens, and we'll do the resurgence and rebirth of You Won't Get This One. Woo-hey! Isn't that exciting, everyone? And yeah, and then we're back to the journey.
And there was great rejoicing.
And can anyone remember what the next journey story was?
Arc of
Infinity. Don't have to look. Arc of Infinity is the next Doctor Who story we'll be looking at.
Hey, Debbie.
Mm?
If you go and look at a comment that I just posted on Tim's Take On,
yeah,
about his latest one, a theory that I have.
Okay.
And Adam and Mary don't.
Is it the theory by an elk?
No,
Is that the theory?
It has something to do with the end of tonight's episode. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is.
What is the point on saying that on a podcast? What is the point?
Before we go,
yes.
Remember when we interviewed the writer Andrew Smith, who talked about, you know, his writing for Doctor Who, and he does a lot of writing for Big Finish, and he was kind of excited about a particular script that he wrote for the Fourth Doctor. And I just wanted to let you know, anybody who's interested in finding it, it's on the Big Finish site as Doctor Who, the Fourth Doctor, Adventure Series 9, Volume 2. The name of the story is called The Quest of the Engineer.
Okay.
And when he talked about it, he said it's funny, you know, and so I went and got it. So I haven't listened to it yet, but I just wanted to alert anybody who may have heard our interview. Since he was so high on this episode, I thought, you know, anybody who wants to get him
the engineer.
It's called The Quest of the Engineer. Okay.
I'll look for
and
that.
On the Big Finish site, the Fourth Doctor Adventures Series 9, Volume 2 actually has two stories on it. And the download price is just $20. So I just want to promote somebody who we interviewed, and hopefully someday we'll interview again.
Splendid. Cool. Thank you very much. Also, the other thing we've got to do soon, actually, when that's coming to the series, is we've got to do our Sophie Aldred interview as well.
Yes.
I mustn't forget that, but I have not got a clue what the book's about, so that's going to be quite interesting, doing an interview pretending I know something about
I'm sorry, I haven't written you a synopsis yet.
What the hell it's about, so that's going to be a bit of a winging it episode.
I just bought her reading it on Audible. I used my free token because I subscribed ages ago when we were sponsored by them, and Hint, Audible. And I got her reading her book, and it's fantastic to actually hear her do it, because the one thing with the book is it takes a little while to get back into reading it if you've come away from it, but then it flows, and having her read it, it's just been really good to listen to. I've listened to just the first 20 minutes of her reading it, and she's got a great voice, so yeah, it's been really good so far. So,
Splendid.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, Kirby?
Yes, I was going to say, that's
whoundot.co.uk. Yeah, probably. I was with Kirby talking about...
Have we not done sponsors? We've not done sponsors.
Would you wait? When Kirby was talking about theories, reminded me of this.
You tried to do sponsors. Dinosaur. There was a lot of talking going on.
Sitting in the studio next to me, an elk. I'm sorry, an elk. Mrs. An Elk.
An elk.
What?
An elk, not an expert.
No, I was saying that you, Miss Elk, were an A-N, not A-N-N-E expert.
Oh.
On elks. I'm sorry, on dinosaurs.
Yes, I certainly am, Chris. How very true, my word, yes.
Now, Miss Elk, Anne, you have a new theory about the Brontosaurus.
Can I just say here, Chris, for one moment, that I have a new theory about the Brontosaurus?
Exactly. What is it?
Where?
No. What is your theory?
Oh, what is my theory?
Yes.
Oh, what is my theory that it is? Yes. Well, you may well ask, what is my theory?
I am asking.
And well, you may. Yes, my word, you may well ask what it is, this theory.
What?
Well, this theory.
Sacrilege!
That is to say, which is mine, is mine.
I don't know what's going on anymore.
What?
I don't either.
We're playing a classic Monty Python sketch from the album Monty Python's previous record.
I've been totally confused all evening, and now this is just...
How dare you! Sacrilege. May the spirit of Graham Chapman and Terry Jones rest in peace for that complete sacrilege and whatever the thing, My Life of Brian.
Sacrilege,
numbers.
Yeah.
No, hang on. No. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Python blasphemy. That is to interrupt a Monty Python sketch while it's actually being played on air.
On a Doctor Who podcast.
Which has very heavy connections to Monty Python. Kirby's on it, for goodness sake. Anyway, right. And I also reviewed a Monty Python performance on the 20 Megabyte podcast many years ago. Well, actually, about 5 years ago.
Yes.
So, the big.
And I believe you sent me a flyer or something from it.
I meant that I didn't know what was going on because it's been like that whole sketch the whole of tonight.
Yeah, but it's only 2.5 It's about 2.5 minutes. Hang on, I've just trodden on something.
That's all I meant.
Well, I was enjoying that too. I hadn't heard that sketch since I was at school. Anyway, right, whoone.co.uk. I must remember to send them an invoice. Have Doctor Who Magazine 548, Image of the Fendal audiobook, along with Paradise Lost audiobook. DWM Special 54 2020 Yearbook and Expectant, which is a Torchwood story, all available currently. And there's coming soon stuff available on pre-order, in other words. Fourth Doctor 9.2 Volume 2, Andrew Smith, a friend of the convention stroke podcast, wrote that along with a chap called Alan Barnes. Diary of River Song 7, an electronic TARDIS. A new one, price $24.99. Faceless Ones video, which I need to get. It's a DVD, sorry. I need to get that. Fortitude, it's a Queen Victoria Torchwood story. That's interesting. I'm trying to see who's Queen Victoria on the cover of that. Who's that? There's a picture of an actress playing Queen Victoria. It's not Pauline Collins. I don't recognise her. Bear in mind, it was Pauline. Pardon?
Not Emily Blunt as young Victoria, is it?
No, it's the old Victoria that... Obviously, it was the old Victoria that...
Judy Dench?
No. This is a Torchwood story. It's not going to be Judy Dench,
Pauline
is it?
Collins.
No, I've just said it isn't Pauline. Unless it does look like that now, I don't know. Fortitude, it's called. And of course, it was Queen Victoria that created, in some ways, Torchwood. Gallifrey Time War 3, a Graham O'Brien figure. You can also double up as when you play the home version of the chase. You could also put him on the board if you want to. Jadoon Captain, the Psychic Circus, which is the sequel to Great Show in the Galaxy, and a Recon Dalek, which is a reconnaissance Dalek. Posable figures, so they're all rather exciting things coming through. whoone.co.uk and Lavazian do scarves of the highest quality. I know I always really only talk about their scarves, but I think if you're a Doctor Who fan, you really do need to get one. But they also have lots of lovely garments available that aren't connected to any particular sci-fi genre. So go to their website, lavazian.co.uk, and have a peruse. Right then, Fantasy Con, you nearly made me forget to talk about. Now, we recently announced Fraser Hines is coming to Fantasy Con. The funny thing about that was when Fraser himself retweeted the tweet of his coming, or shared it on Facebook or something like that, that generated quite a lot of interest, which was quite good fun. And I got a bit of a... It's a bit of a, not officially announced yet, but has been agreed, announcement, not Doctor Who related, but a guest that's coming to Fantasy Con. It's going to create silence, so I do apologise, but we're quite excited about it. A lady called Amanda... Damn, I've forgotten the surname.
I should have thought about that before.
That's a strange surname.
What?
That is a strange surname.
Oh, Amanda Barry. Amanda Barry. I didn't even have to look it up. I remembered it all off the top of my head. Amanda Barry is coming to FantasyCon to join her, a very good friend of hers, Cherie Hewson. So I think they were both in Coronation Street at the same time.
That's yeah, I really love good. Amanda Barry. But she's terrific. Looking
her claim to fame is she was Cleopatra. And when I
yes,
get
she's
really
wonderful as Cleopatra.
In Carry On Cleopatra.
Yeah. Now, she's one of my idols. I love that film. It's one of my favourites. I was going to ask you, Adam, how did last night go?
I don't know. I was working. I was a photographer.
The disco. The cosplay disco.
No, I don't know, because I had to work.
Oh!
I went to...
Okay, I just thought you might have had some feedback on it.
Oh, yeah. They had 15 people went to it.
Oh, shoot. Okay, I won't ask then.
Roy said the people did turn up, had a great time. That's as far as it goes.
Okay. I thought it was part of what you were sorting. Sorry,
no,
I didn't
because
realise.
We got to a situation where no tickets were selling, and I had a conversation with Roy saying, well, we've got to have to think about cancelling it because I don't want it to, you know, reflect on FantasyCon. So he wasn't that keen on cancelling it, so I just handed it over to him.
Fair enough. Okay.
And the other thing, I was really busy with the event anyway, and more busy than I expected it to be. But what he did create something that people had fun at, which is good. I mean, it didn't do what it was meant to do, and he's making a donation to Essex Cancer. It did upset me a little bit because it's a cancer charity. It was about really just coming along, making a donation to Essex Cancer that are desperately trying to stay alive and having a bit of fun to boot. But people, obviously 15 people could be bothered to do that, but the rest of the people, although they wanted to go to, was the event I had to work at, which was the 80s night at Lower Hyde, which had about three or four.
Yeah, that was huge, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, and that wasn't for charity or anything. It was, as far as I know, it might have been a charity element, I don't know. But but I had to do it because Duncan couldn't do it and they needed a photographer, so I had to go to that, unfortunately. So, yeah, it didn't quite pan out the way we wanted it to. But, yeah, the people went along. Thank you very much for going along and supporting it and having fun, and I appreciate that. But there will be a FantasyCon golden ticket becoming available by way of competition. But I know what people who listen to our show think of competitions, because that's why we don't do them, because nobody enters them. And don't go on about the jelly babies, Kirby, but that was one person, which happened to be you.
No,
nobody else has entered it, so we're not going to bother doing any more.
And we're not going to start talking about the scarves either.
I was about to say, I've won two things.
Yes, okay, well done. yeah, so Amanda Barry will be coming along to FantasyCon. I say, when I said to someone, oh, yeah, but she was Cleopatra in...
Carry On, Cleo.
Well, yeah, but that was 1964. So.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love that film.
She was also in One of Our Dinosaurs Is Missing.
I love that film too.
Was she?
Yeah.
Yes, she is. She is in that. I'm going to have to book a photo with her. She's amazing.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, she's coming along, and she's going, basically, Cherie's going along. When she heard Cherie was going along, she was quite keen to come. So, yeah, I know she's good fun. She's not really apparent to her age of 84. She's very much a young person in an old person's body, and she's fab.
I'm rapidly using up all of my vacation days, so I probably will not do FantasyCon this
year.
What
a surprise! Okay, don't worry.
We're going to get to see Mary this year, though. I'm very excited.
Yes, I've already. What? Yeah. Yeah, I've already written it down in my diary.
Yeah, I've already booked that time off as well.
Oh, and Alan, I didn't tell you going wrong,
Deb. Travel over, so he's going to join us too.
Who is?
Alan said he's
going to come to the Isle. Oh, you didn't tell me that. Oh, I might have something. I might have
hang out together.
So Debbie and Alan. I mean, I might have other things
Debbie
to do
Alan,
that day.
Yep.
Anyway, Mary Blitz Lang says, spoilers, Alan. I want to listen to it.
Because he said he can tell me what happens.
I can tell you what happens in The Quest of the Engineer, if you like. Yeah, go on then, Kirby.
We have had some more feedback on Ascension.
I'll go on then.
Right. Raining again, Adam. What a surprise.
It's raining again, did you say?
Oh,
it just rains
that's,
anyway,
that's
doesn't
that
it?
That's not feedback.
It's continual.
No,
it just
Adam
rains.
It's raining again. It's been raining permanently. What's,
what would
for
be
the
a
last
more, more appropriate say when the sun comes out? It's sunny. Because it
oh,
just
it's,
rains.
It's been raining here for the past week.
Yeah, and then it comes to us.
Yes, but we're British. We're meant to mention the weather, even though it's blindingly obvious.
Well, we've had like a week of rain, and it's only been clear for
we've had
a day
4 months
and half,
of it.
And now it's going to rain again tomorrow.
Have you not seen on the news of flooding that's happening in Great Britain at the moment? It's all down to ridiculous amount of rainfall coming across the Atlantic in a conveyor belt of storms.
born storm
off the
blooming
east coast of America. Anyway, carry on.
And see, we're supposed to start our construction on our on my wife's new sunroom / sewing room tomorrow. It's supposed to rain, so they're not going to do it. Anyway, mm-hmm. Robert Wentz Jr. says, "Is the Brendan story set on Earth just because it could be set on a place like Earth? Feels like Big Finish
Ooh,
spare parts story."
Point. Unless he's
I get the
it.
Feeling they are going to the human Time Lord something back in the 90s when Paul said he was half human in the TV movie. Mostly set up for part two, my rating 3.5 out of 5.
Wow, that's good then. Thank you.
Okay.
Right then, so as I say, next week we'll be reviewing the last episode of the series. I've got a burp coming. That's not what it's called. I had a burp, which I stifled because I'm polite.
No,
I stifled.
It's called The Timeless Children.
Timeless Children, that's it. And then we'll be gearing up for a return to the journey by doing our top tens. I bet nobody turns up for that. So basically, it'll probably just be my top ten.
I'll do top,
top 10 of this series.
Oh, yes, yeah. Dear. Yeah. So and we're from bottom to top, your top 10. And then
can't
we each do it.
Most of them at meh and a couple of them at great.
Debbie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it amounts to.
Debbie.
One of them was the worst
very,
Doctor Who ever.
Very naughty
yeah,
podcasters.
Exactly.
Right then, so that essentially is it for this week.
That's going to be a really short episode.
No, it isn't. Because it's the return of You Won't Get This One, and we hopefully will have the people I've told off for not providing us with feedback will may actually provide us with some feedback. So don't be such a pessimist, Kirby, or I'll set my dog onto you. He's not here at the moment.
Where is he?
Or we could combine both things
room.
Next week. We could review the episode and then do the rankings together.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that I don't know what time I'm finishing work before we
true.
Start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we could put the rankings as part of the return to the journey. He doesn't want to do that. I can tell.
No, I just want to have a relaxed, laid back.
Fine.
Perhaps possibly shorter
fine,
episode
fine,
next week,
fine.
And then let's go back into the.
You're the master.
He wants to hit us with the quiz.
We will have fun. That. Don't worry, we will have fun. Anyway, so thank you for listening, watching, and taking part in the show. And I'll let you off one more time for not sending in any feedback, apart from the ones that did, obviously.
Well, they did. People did
yeah,
have
right,
a lot of
right, that's what I just said. Thank
thread.
You. Thank. Oh, yes. Yeah, but we need more, don't we? More feedback. It'll pad out next week's show. Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.